This is a record trip to Scotland. We'll take you through the land. We'll let you hear about places. And you'll hear some of the Scottish singers. We'll let you hear some of the old Scottish tunes. Perhaps it'll tell you something about the history of the land, as well as its beauty. So here now, sit back and relax, and imagine yourself touching down at the beautiful airport at Prestwick, the international airport, and then you'll take a trip up through Bonnie Scotland. City of Glasgow has been for many years the very hub of Scottish industry. That is, the heavy industry, shipbuilding, engineering, and such like work. Who hasn't heard of these large ships built on Clydeside, the Queen Mary and the Queen Elizabeth, and many other ships that have sailed the seven seas? But Glasgow was also famous for some of its great institutions and buildings. There is the great Glasgow University, well known, and then the beautiful Glasgow Cathedral. Also, for many years, it had for its motto, "Let Glasgow flourish by the preaching of the word." It was a great evangelical centre. But there's another place in Glasgow that everyone around that area has heard about. It's called the Glasgow Barrows, situated in the Gallagate. Now here's a little song about the Glasgow Barrows I'm sure every Scottish person will enjoy.
Most big Glasgow, like most big working class cities, has her own flea market, a collection of semi-permanent stalls overflowing with second-hand clothes, old 78 gramophone records, new plastic Wellington, budgies, parrots, linoleum, carpets, tea sets, and pots and pans. This stock exchange is known lovingly as the Barrows.
There's a spot in Glasgow City that's real kin to the hill world out. It's more famous than the Mona Lisa face. It is visited by royalty and rascals by the score. Everybody knows the Barrows is the place. Did Kent and Peter lost the key, oh, yon big pearly gate. He was feared that he'd get flung out of his job. Till a fly reclassed the angel said, "Of Peter, silly Greek, you can buy one at the Barrows for a bob." Oh, the Barrows, oh, the Barrows, they're no one wrong, the Barrows, you just have to go to Glasgow's Gallagate. They sell tickets to the moon, a return for half a croon, and five bob guarantee the first class name. Now you can how Samson lost his strength, Delilah cut his hair, he was left as weak and baldy as a wing. So he flitted out to Scotland, saying the Barrows for a cure, and he soon was strong and hairy once again. When the Roman king to Scotland many junkies years ago, they got deep further than the Gallagate. For the lads that run the Barrows swapped some souvenirs for shorts, then the slimy flesh Achilles had some faith. Oh, the Barrows, oh, the Barrows, the no one roamed the Barrows, you do up to go to Glasgow's Gallagate. They sell tickets to the moon, a return for half a croon, and five more guarantee the first class day.
Not far from the city of Glasgow there lies that beautiful stretch of water known as Loch Lomond. And all those who have left their native land and have gone to other parts of the world feel something warming about their heart when they hear that old song about the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. There's a sad feature about it as well, of course, and now we'll let you hear the story behind the song and what it means.
There is an old Celtic belief that when a man dies in a foreign land, his spirit returns via the low road. In 1745, two Scottish soldiers were made captive in Carlisle, one of whom was to be set free, the other executed. It is the condemned man who will return to Scotland by way of the low road of death and reach Loch Lomond before his friend, who must travel the earthly high road.
By yon bonny banks and by yon bonny brae, where the sun shines bright on Loch Lomond, where me and my true love were ever once again, on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. And you'll take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland afore ye. But me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. We parted in yon shady glen, on the steep hillside o' Ben Lomond, where in purple hue the Highland hills we view, and the moon coming out in the gloaming. And you'll take the high road, and I'll take the low. I'll be in Scotland afore ye, but me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. The wee birdies sing and the wild flowers spring, and in sunshine the waters are sleeping, but the broken heart kens nae second spring again. Though the wave may cease, they their greeting, and you'll take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland afore ye, but me and my true love will never meet again on the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond. On the bonny, bonny banks of Loch Lomond.
Now you continue on your tour and you travel northward, and your guide may take you to a very famous spot, a beautiful spot in the Highlands known as Glen Coe. But Glen Coe is a place where there are memories of the days when the Scottish clans fought one against the other. One clan, perhaps, would line up with the invaders from the south and fight against another clan. It was there, in that Glen Coe, that a great massacre took place, known in history as the Massacre of Glencoe, where the Campbells went in and slaughtered that night. In the dark, they slaughtered the MacDonalds. Now here's a song about that great event.
You are hereby ordered to fall upon the rebels, the MacDonalds of Glencoe, and to put all to the sword under 70. This was the treacherous and cold-blooded order, ruthlessly carried out on 13th of February 1692, when the Campbells slaughtered their hosts, the MacDonalds, at the massacre of Glencoe. It was a bloody incident which had deep repercussions and was the beginning of the destruction of a Highlander.
Now you travel a little further north from Glencoe and over to the west. You come to the shore, the rugged shore of the west coast, and there lies the island of Skye. And you picture that rough, cold night when a little boat was going from the mainland over to the island of Skye and carrying there Prince Charles, the boy who was born to be king, fleeing from the enemy that sought his death.
It is a black, wild night, with a wind howling down from the North Minch, whipping the seas separating sky from the mainland into a cauldron of angry waves. An occasional flash of lightning reveals a tiny rowing boat, bobbing like a thought, sometimes lost in the deep troughs of black green water, but always reappearing on the crest of a gigantic white feathered wave. In this tiny craft, struggling against the elements and fleeing from the Duke of Cumberland and Culloden, is Prince Charles Edward Stuart.
Bonnie boat, like a bird on the wing, onward to sail the sky. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea to sky. Loud the winds howl, loud the waves roar, thunderclaps rend the air. Baffled our foes, stand by the shore, follow they will not dare. Bonny boat, like a bird on the wing, onward to save us try. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea to sky. Though the waves leap, soft shall you sleep, oceans are royal bed. Rocked in the deep, Laura will keep watch by your weary head. Ye bonny boat, like a bird on the wing, onward to save the sky. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea to sky. Many's the lad fought on that day, well the claymore could wield. When the night came, silently lay dead on Culloden. Bonny boat, like a bird on the wing, onward to sailors cry. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea sky. Burned are our homes, exile and death, scatter the loyal men. Yet ere the sword cool in its sheath, Charlie will come again. Speed, bonny boat, like a bird on the wing, onward the sailors try. Carry the lad that's born to be king over the sea to sky.
Now, while in the Highlands, let us imagine that we have met with a group of young people who are not traveling by bus, but they are hiking, traveling along these narrow Scottish Highland roads, up the hills and down the glens. But they're enjoying the fresh country air as they go along the country roads. And Kenneth McKellar becomes the leader of that hiking party. Let us then go hiking with Kenneth McKellar as our guide.
mountain breezes blow, and the drum up in the evening in the valley of Glencoe. Then swing along to a hiking song on the highway winding west, tramping Hardy and Glen and Bragg and Bend to meet the Isle we love the best. There I'll be bivouac and slumber till the dawn gives place to day, and I'll wander by the river that is piled old Ossian lay. Then I'll do some mountaineering on the Bidian snow. The islands of the west, then swing along to a hiking song on the highway winding west, tramping Isle of Glen and Bragg and Bend to meet the Isle we love the best. When the wanderlust will as I grow too old to roam, till the memory will linger of my lovely Highland home, silvery streams and rumbling rivers, verdant vales and glorious glens, and the pride of Caledonia's heather hills and Bracken Bend. Then swing along to a hiking song on the highway winding west, camping Highland Glen and Bracken Bend to meet the Isle we love the best. Then swing along to a hiking song on the highway winding west.
Now, as you turn your face eastward, and you come from the west coast, and you're going to make now for the great granite city of Aberdeen. As you move along through that part of the country, you come to a very famous place called Braemar. Once a year, they have the Highland Gathering in Braemar. It's usually held at a time when the royal family is in residence at Balmoral Castle, and it is expected that on a particular day they will be there visiting at the Braemar Gathering. It's the time when the clans meet. It's the gathering of the clans where they compete with one another in athletic sports. Now, get Kenneth to sing now about the gathering of the clans.
The clans are gathering, gathering, gathering through the deep glens and from far away lands. From cottage and stealing while music is stealing, for over the gathering of the clans. The pipers are sounding in lowland. The lad is he brave and the lad is he raw. They come from the hill and they come from the island and come from across the wide ocean and all. The clans of gathering, gathering, gathering through the deep glens and from far away land. From cottage and stealing while music is stealing. Tartans they swing as they go. The Cootsie young talents and all the broad gallants, the bonny gay gardens and men of Monroe, the clans are gathering, gathering, gathering through the deep glens and from faraway lands, from Cork and Deering, while music is pealing for over the gathering of the clans. Then Parker and Morris and Sinclair and Lamont, come fling off your ladies this glorious day, to join in the reel with the lads of McNeil, as you fill to the kettle all the pipes of McCree. The clans are gathering, gathering, gathering through the deep glens and from faraway land, from Cork and Deering, while you the gathering of the clans. The clans are gathering, gathering, gathering through the deep from faraway lands, from cottage and hearing, while music is stealing for over the gathering of the clans. For over the gathering of the
Now, as we leave the gathering of the clans, let us take a quiet trip now along the beautiful Dee side, that is, along the banks of the River Dee. The River Dee flows towards the east and enters the North Sea at the great city of Aberdeen. It is called Aberdeen because it lies at the mouth of two rivers, the one called the Dee and the other called the Don, and Aber is at the mouth of. So Aberdeen is at the mouth of the Dee and the Don, and we reach that city. In recent years it has become known as the oil town of the north, because it is into Aberdeen that they bring the oil from the oil wells now out in the North Sea. But Aberdeen has been known for many, many years as a fishing town. There used to be over 300 fish curers in Aberdeen, the great fishing fleet. One of the types of fish that they bring in there at certain times of the year is the herring. And Aberdeen has been known for its kippered herring. They not only sell them locally, but send them all over Great Britain, and now they put them in cans and they send them all over the world, the famous Aberdeen kipper herring. Also, from a military point of view, it was the home of the Gordon Highlanders. And as you travel in along Deeside towards Aberdeen, you pass through some beautiful farmlands where you would see herds of the Black Angus, better known up north as the Aberdeen Angus. So we'll go now to Aberdeen and spend a few minutes there.
Aberdeen. Grey granite, grim and dour, begrutten with smoke and stour. This is the Aberdeen of Lewis Grassic Gibbon, but a much more picturesque scene is set on the bustling sea, where the herring boats pour out their catches of silver darlings.
Silver darlings on Aberdeen Quay. Brought by the fishermen home from sea to the city that stands fixed the dawn and the deep, the home of the silver darling. The boat meets the harbor, their wakes spreading wide, and empty they roll with the swell of the tide. Their hatches be thrown open wide for a catch of the silver darlings. Silver darlings on Aberdeen Quay, brought by the fishermen home from sea to the city that stands twixt the dawn and the deep, the home of the silver darlings. Ice in the rigging and death down below, the gale screaming wild and the glass hanging low. The wives and the sweethearts are women who know the price of the silver darling. Silver darlings on Aberdeen Quay, brought by the fishermen and the home of the silver
granite city of Aberdeen with its Kipper Herring and its Gordon Highlanders. We'll travel down the east coast, come to the city of Dundee, cross over the Tay Bridge, the road bridge, coming over the River Tay. And as you come over that bridge, you come into Fifeshire, known as the Kingdom of Fife, a very famous part of the country. They pass jokes about Fifeshire. They say it was the last part of Scotland to be civilised. And some people, in a sarcastic way, tell us it's not even civilised yet. However, we'll come down into Fifeshire and we'll hear a little song about the Cooper of Fife.
In the ancient kingdom of Fife were born many famous men, like Adam Smith, who wrote The Wealth of Nations there. Alexander Selkirk, who was marooned on the desert island of Juan Fernandez from 1704 to 1709, and is generally considered to be the prototype of Robinson Crusoe. But the most famous of all is undoubtedly the wee Cooper, who taught us all how to deal with a troublesome wife.
There was a wee Cooper walked humpy fife, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, and he has gotten a gentle wife, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. She wouldn't a cart, she wouldn't a spin, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, for the shame and oh her gentle kin, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. She wouldn't a bake, she wouldn't a brew, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, for the spoil and oh her comely hue, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. The Cooper has gone to his wool pack, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, and laid a sheepskin upon his white back, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. I'll no thrashy for your gentle kin, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, but I will thrash my ain sheepskin, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. Oh, I will bake and I will brew, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, and think they mayor of my comely hue, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. And I will carve and I will spin, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, and think they mayor of my gentle kin, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. So ye boy got a gentle wife, nickety-nackety-noo-noo-noo, just you think o' the wee Cooper of Fife, hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo. Hi willy wallachy hoo, John Doodle-a-linger, rushity-roo-roo-roo.
Now as we near the end of this side of the cassette, we'll listen to that good old Scottish song, "Were no a woe to bide a woe, will I come back and see ye."
We're no one divine. there's a bogeyman.
Oh, what a life, a weary, weary life. I'd rather have been single than to have a married wife.
One says, Mommy, help me into bed. The other shouts, Daddy, scratch my whipped leg.
Oh, what a life, a weary, weary life. I'd rather have been single than to have a married wife.
Bears, please, you will hear me cry. Come on, get off, come on, get off, I hope you think you're fly. Everybody knows me from here to Inverness.
I'm Mary McDougal, the off and chisel, the cock and doctoress.
Oh, you can't shove your granny off a bus.
Off a bus.
Oh, you can't shove your granny off a bus.
Off a bus.
Oh, you can't shove your granny, cause she's your mommy's mommy. You can't shove your granny, never push your granny.
You can't shove your granny off a bus.
There will be no need to shove your granny off that bus. But before you leave Fifeshire, you better take a trip into the famous town of St. Andrews and at least see the St. Andrews University. And then take a walk down to the links, down to the shore, and witness there that famous place called the Royal and Ancient Golf Course. You know, golf as a sport originated in Scotland. And one of the oldest golf courses in Scotland is at the one in St. Andrews. It seems to be that many of the golfers throughout the world have a dream of one day visiting Scotland and playing on that golf course. And after you see the St. Andrews University and the golf course and wander around the town for a little while, then you'll get on board the bus and you'll begin to travel westward, right from the east coast. And you come in to the town of Kinross, which is just over the borders from Fifeshire into the little county of Kinross. And you come down through Milnathort and into Kinross, the county town. Then you continue from there as you come westward. And in a few miles from Kinross, you enter into the beautiful Devon Valley. And when you reach the town of Dollar, you've now left Kinrossshire and you've entered the smallest county in Scotland, known as Clackmannanshire. You pass through the town of Dollar, then Tillicoutray, then Alva, Menstrie, and on into Stirling, where you'll pass the Wallace Monument, just 2 miles out of Stirling. Then you get into Stirling, where you'll see the famous Stirling Castle. But now, as you come down that roadway, just between the town of Dollar and the town of Tillicoutray, there was a private estate known as the Harveston Estate. There used to be a castle there, the Harveston Castle. It's no longer there. It has been demolished. But years ago, when Robert Burns, the famous Scottish poet, visited that place, he came there to see one of his girlfriends who was working as a servant in the Harveston Castle. As he sat on the hillside looking down on the Devon Valley and watching the Devon, here is what he wrote. 2 verses of a poem entitled The Banks of the Devon. How pleasant the banks of the clear winding Devon, with green spreading bushes and flowers blooming fair. But the bonniest flower on the banks of the Devon was once a sweet bud on the braes of the air. Mild be the sun on this sweet blushing flower, in the gay rosy morn as it bathes in the dew, and gentle the fall of the soft vernal shower that steals on the evening each leaf to renew. O, spare the dear blossom, ye orient breezes, with chill, hoary wing as ye usher the dawn, and far be thou distant, thou reptile that seizes the verdure and pride of the garden or lawn. Let Bourbon exult in his gay gilded lilies, and England triumphant display her proud rose, a fairer than either adorns the green valleys where Devon, sweet Devon, meandering flows. That was Robert Burns' description of the bonny, winding Devon. And to the north of that river there lies those beautiful Ochil Hills, with the summit, the highest point, being the famous Ben Clough, which rises well over 2,000 feet above sea level and lies right behind, as it were, the town of Tillicoultry. And so you go on, and you travel toward the west, through Stirling, and on into Lanarkshire, and the famous city again of Glasgow. In Lanarkshire there was a man known as Harry Lauder. He'd been dead for a number of years, but Harry Lauder was looked upon in his day as one of Scotland's outstanding singers. That is, he was a comedian, but all his songs were clean. Now here is Harry Lauder, who used to live as a boy in the town of Hamilton, and then later on he built himself a house up in Strathen. Harry Lauder.
I've never been away myself before in all my life. I've never had a holiday away without my wife, and I've never felt so happy, and I've never been so free. I would give a gold and silver cup to know what's wrong with me. I'd give, well, you know what I mean, I'd give anything but money, anything to know the cause of my exuberativeness. Fanty, I'm going away for 2 weeks holiday, and I've got 2 weeks pay in my pooch, and my wife is in the hospital with a broken leg. Of course, mind you, when the accident happened, I was very sorry. I could have cried, but I didn't. It wasn't the time to cry. It was time for action. I had to get her to the hospital, and after I got her to the hospital and saw that she was comfortably situated, I went home to my wee kitchen, and I sat down and I ate 4 tins of sardines. I wish you could have seen my tongue in the morning. I had a coat and a pair of trousers hanging on it. But that didn't stop me from singing. For I've just got off the chain, I've just got off the chain, feeling as happy as a lot of ducks among the rain. I'm going to be having the time of my life away from Mrs. McBain, because she'll maybe never get the chance to break her leg again. I've been a very happy man all through my married life, but just like other married men, I've been subject to my wife. But mind, I've always been a man, I have always stood my ground, but I must admit I've often been knocked out in the first round. Yes, and where is the married man that can sit here and truthfully say that he has never been knocked out during the whole of his married life? Oh, I would love to see him. Will he please stand up? No, he's not here tonight. I remember one night there was Samson, Simpson, Dixon, Johnson, Gibson, and Nelson, and we were all in the Black Bull. We were all in a little back room having a game at the dominoes. And then they would have me to make a speech. I said, the only speech that I can make, I said, is on domesticity. So I rose and I said, well, no, I'm going to tell you this, and I say this without fear. Mind you, I say this without fear. There's a fine expression for a married man to use. I say this without fear, that I am Caesar. I am Caesar in my own house. When the room door opened and my wife stuck her head in and she said, Caesar, home. Did I go? You bet I did. I was home a quarter of an hour before her and took up my position below the bed. Of course, when she came in, she ordered me out. I said, no, nothing. Oh, I wish you could hear what I said to her and to myself. Yes, go on, giggle, giggle. I know what you're giggling at, but... Oh, I know. You think I went home because I was afraid of my wife. Well, you're wrong. It's not true. Well, why did I go home? As an example to the rest of them who were there. For I've just got off the chain, I've just got off the chain, I'm feeling as happy as a lot of ducks among the rain. I'm gonna be having the time of my life away from Mrs. McBain, because she'll maybe never get the chance to break her leg again. I've just got off the chain, I've just got off the chain, I'm feeling as happy as a lot of ducks among the rain. I'm gonna be having the time of my life away from Mrs. McBain, because she'll maybe never get the chance. Goodbye. I'm away for my holiday. And I never, never grieve. I take things very easy. What I can't take, I leave. And I work the whole week round, from early morn till late at night. And on Saturday, I eagerly look forward with delight to beautiful Sunday. I wish it would never come Monday, cause I lie between the sheets, my bed adorning. Oh, it's very nice. Yes, it's very, very nice to get your breakfast in your bed on Sunday morning. What joy, what great delight it is to hear the kirk bells ring. I wouldn't miss their welcome sound, no, not for anything. When they commence to ring, arise, I and I go and I have a bit squinter of the windy. But if I think it's going to rain, I just fill my pipe and licked it, and I go back to bed again. Man, it's a terrible thing to rise you among the blankets, especially on a frosty morning, eh? Oh, I say, did ever any of you chaps ever waken on a beautiful Sunday morning about 6:30 and then open your eyes? If you were able to open them. And there you're lying there, you know. Did you ever lie there and realize that you didn't have to rise and go to your work? Isn't it a lovely feeling? Oh, man. Oh, dear. It's lovely, man. You lie there, you know, and you hear the canaries singing in the room, you know. And there the white cheese in the kitchen, you know, washing the dishes and breaking them. And you're lying in your bed, you know, and you can hear the ham and eggs
Carolyn and the Pano, mind I'm telling you. Beautiful Sunday. I wish it would never come Monday, cause I lie between machines, my bed adorning. Oh, it's very nice, man, it's very, very nice to get your breakfast in your bed on Sunday morning. Beautiful Sunday. I wish it would never come Monday, cause I lie between the sheets, my bed adorning. Oh, it's very nice, it's very, very nice to get your breakfast in. One of the treats of civilization is to get your breakfast in your bed on Sunday morning. Aye, aye. Ah, well. Goodbye. Tea party 3 weeks ago. I had never been at one before. I was dressed up in my best just like this and got there at 3:15. And the lassie that served me my tea was a queen, one of the bonniest I've ever seen. Susie McLean is her name, and I'll tell, I've never done anything but sing to myself since I met her. Susie McLean, when are you going to change your name? Just say the word and I'll make you my wife, and I'll love you forever the rest of your life. I asked her if she ever had been in love, and she told me that she never had. Well, I said, you're a love, och, I said, you're a dove, but she just said, away you, you're mad. I teased her and squeezed her, she said I was rough, then she gave me a cuff on the jaw with her muff. But when I got him, I sat down and wrote a letter to tell her, and this is the note that I wrote her. Susie McLean, when are you going to change your name? Just say the word and I'll make you my wife, and I'll love you the rest of your life. Her father and mother invited me soon to the house, cause they wanted to see Susie's selection, and so I went down for a chat and a wee cup of tea. We strolled down the garden, sat under a tree. It got dark and then darker that I couldn't see. But when the moon came out onto the scene, I snuggled close, she said, what do you mean? I said, Susie McLean, when are you going to change your name? Just say the word and I'll make you my wife, and I'll love you forever the rest of your life. You know, I believe there are dozens of young chaps here, you know, in love with some girl or another. But just for the want of that something, you know, gumption. Aye, that's the word, gumption. Just for the want of gumption, you don't know who to go about it in a successful direction. Well, then I'm going to try and help you. Aye. I've written a book on love. Aye. And it's entitled The Only Way. And it commences by starting at the beginning. It says that love is an inspiration in conversation and consultation. After consultation, there is jubilation. After jubilation, there is oscillation. Then after oscillation, there is a hesitation. After the hesitation, there is a sort of a separation.
Then after the separation, there is another consultation with deliberation. Then another conclusion, which sometimes turns the whole thing into a delusion terminating in confusion. But, aye, but, but, but mind, I'm going to tell you. If you follow these directions, you'll never go on the rocks. That's the way I went about it with Susie. Susie McLean, when are you going to change your name? Just say the word and I'll make you my wife, and I'll love you forever the rest of your life. Oh, I could eat you. Oh, well. You know what I mean.
And now, let me recite to you an old Scottish poem. It pictures a mother taking her children, turning them into bed at night, hoping for a little time of quietness. The title of the poem is Cuddle Doon. The bairnies cuddle doon at nicht, wi' muckle fash and din. Oh, try and sleep, ye wake rife rogues, your feyther's coming in. They never heed a word to speak. I try to gae froon, but I hap them up and cry, oh, bairnies, cuddle doon. Wee Jimmy with a cuddly heed, he aye sleeps next to wa', bangs up and cries, I want a piece. The rascal starts them all. I run and fetch them pieces, drinks. They stop a wee the soon. Then draw the blankets up and cry, new bairnies cuddle doon. But ere 5 minutes gang, wee Rab cries out from beneath the clays, mither, Mac Tam gee out at Ains, he's kittling wee stays. The mischief's in that dam for tricks. He'd bother half the tune, but I hap them up and cry, oh, bairnies, cuddle doon. At length they hear their feathers fit, and as he steeks the door, they turn their faces to the wall, while Tam pretends to snore. Hey, are the weans been good, he asks, as he puts off his shin. The bairnies, Joan, are in their beds, and lang since cuddled doon. And just afore we bed ourselves, we look at oor wee lambs. Tam has his arm round wee Rab's neck, and Rab his arm round Tam's. I lift wee Jimmy up the bed, and as I strake each croon, I whisper till my heart fills up, oh, bairnies, cuddled doon. The bairnies cuddled doon at nicht, wi' mirth that's dear to me, but soon the big world's cark and care will quieten doon their glee. Yet, come what will to ilka ane, may he who rules a bin, I whisper, though their pows be bald, O bairnies, cuddle doon. Now, just before we leave the Clydeside, perhaps we should listen to that old song, Roman in the Gloamin', with my lassie by my side.
Roman in the gloamin' on the bonny banks of Clyde. Roman in the gloamin', wee my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best. Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloamin'. I've seen lots of bonny lassies traveling far and wide, but my heart is set anew on bonny Kate McBride. And although I'm no chap that threw the world away, I'm surprised myself sometimes at all I've got to say. Roaming in the gloamin' on the bonny banks of Clyde. Roaming in the
the gloom and weave a lassie by my side.
When the sun has got his rest, that's the time that we love best.
Oh, it's lovely roving in the gloaming.
Knew one next in the gloaming, we were tripping side by side. I kissed her twice and asked her once if she would be my bride. She was shy, och, so was I, we were both the same. But I got braver and braver on the journey coming to him. Roaming in the gloaming on the bonny banks of Clyde. Roaming in the gloaming, we my lassie by my side. When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best.
Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming. I roam in the gloaming on the bonny banks of Clyde. Roaming in the gloaming, we my lassie by my side.
When the sun has gone to rest, that's the time that we love best.
Oh, it's lovely roaming in the gloaming.
Not only were big ships built on the Clyde, but many, many a ship sailed from the Clyde, down at the tail of the bank, just out from Greenock. A lot of people emigrated, and they left bonny Scotland, went to Canada, and to the United States. It used to be in the old days that there was quite a lot of tears shed when people came to wave farewell to their friends who were going away to the New World. Is a little song about the parting on the shore.
Now we parted on the shore, yes, we parted on the shore. I said goodbye.
Shed on every cloud. shines by night, it shines by day, and ne'er grows dim with time. It rolls upon the banks away, it shone on Doon's clear stream. 100 years again and may, yet right on old speed, let King of God rise, for this world has many times, but rightly been loving them all, our old rabbi.
Here are some facts about Scotland, entitled Old Scotia's Pride. Who's like us? An Englishman enjoys his breakfast of toast and marmalade. This marmalade was invented by Mrs. Keeler of Dundee in Scotland. He reaches for his raincoat on a wet English morning. This raincoat was patented by Charles McIntosh from Glasgow, Scotland. That's why they're called the McIntosh. The man rushes to the station on his bicycle. The bicycle was invented by Kirkpatrick Macmillan, a blacksmith in Dumfries. His bicycle wheels are fitted with rubber tires. These tires were invented by John B. Dunlop of Dreghorn, Scotland. The man cycles along a tarmac road. This tarmac road takes its name from John McAdam of Ayr, Scotland. He makes his journey by train into the city of London, to his work. The train is pulled by a steam engine invented by James Watt of Scotland. The man spends his day working at his desk in the Bank of England. This bank was founded by William Patterson of Dumfries, Scotland. He begins to open his mail, and each envelope has an adhesive stamp. These adhesive stamps were invented by James Chalmers from Dundee in Scotland. The man sits and puffs on a cigarette. Cigarettes were first manufactured by Robert Gloag of Perth, Scotland. He decides he must speak to his wife on the telephone. The telephone was invented by Alexander Bell, who was born in Edinburgh, Scotland. She tells him that dinner will be roast beef from Aberdeen Angus. These beautiful, well-bred beef steers are raised in the northeast of Scotland. He arrives home to find his young daughter watching television. Television was invented by John L. Baird of Ellensborough, Scotland. She was watching a program dealing with the United States Navy. This navy was founded by John Paul Jones from Kirkbean, Scotland. His son was reading a fine book called Treasure Island. This book was written by Robert Louis Stevenson from Edinburgh, Scotland. He sat down in his chair and he decided to read his Bible. He found the first name mentioned in the introduction was King James, who authorized the translation, and he was King James VI from Scotland. This Englishman, like all others, cannot get away from the ingenuity of these pocky Scots. Of course, he could turn to whiskey in order to drown his inferiority complex, but again, he would learn that Scotland supplies the best. If he decided to end it all, he might put his head in a gas oven. But wasn't coal gas discovered by William Murdoch of Ayr, Scotland? If he decided to shoot himself with a rifle, he should remember that his breech-loading rifle was invented by Captain Pat Ferguson of Pitfours. If unsuccessful, he could be injected with a shot of penicillin. But penicillin was discovered by Alexander Fleming of Darvel, Scotland. Suppose it was decided to give him an anaesthetic. He should be told it was discovered by Sir James Young Simpson of Bathgate, Scotland. His last hope might be, get a transfusion of Scots blood, then ask with a shout of triumph, who's like us? Then the answer will come back, very few, and they're all dead.
That's all right, boys. Wait a minute. I'm with you. I haven't retired yet. Oh, no. I'm going to go right on to the end of the road. Every road through life is a long, long road filled with joys and sorrows, too. As we journey on, how your heart may yearn for the things most dear to you. With wealth and love to sow, but onward we must go. Keep right on to the end of the road. Keep right on to the end. If the way be long, let your heart be strong. Keep right on round the bend. If you're tired and weary, still journey on till you come to your happy abode, where all you love and your dreaming of will be there at the end of the road. With a big stout heart to a long steep hill, we may get there with a smile. With a good kind thought and an end in view, we can catch her many a mile. So let courage every day be our guiding star always. Keep right on to the end of the road. Keep right on to the end. If the way be long, let your heart be strong. Keep right on round the bend. If you're tired and weary, still journey on till you come to your happy abode, where all you love and you're dreaming of will be there at the end.
The grand finale, that well-known, well-loved 23rd Psalm. Your trip to Scotland. I admit it's been a record trip, but I trust it has stirred up thoughts within your breast. Those of you who have come from Scotland, left its shores perhaps many years ago, I trust it has stirred up memories. And those of you who have links with Scotland and have never been there, may it be that this will lead you to decide to pay a visit to that good old land and visit perhaps some of the places we've spoken about and see some of the friends that you still have living in that country. Thank you for listening. This is Mr. McNeil saying good day.